Good afternoon and welcome to Citizens December 6th Audit Committee meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene at 1 o'clock and will be recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. For those attending today's session through the public link, you are automatically in listen-only mode with presentations appearing in the webinar. Chair Lesnoff, we have no speaker request for today's meetings. Panelists, thank you for identifying yourself prior to addressing the committee. Chair Lesnoff?
Here.
Board Chair Baruff?
Here.
Governor Thomas?
Here.
Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you, and thank you for being here today. I'm sorry I could not be there in person. I think we only have one action item today, and that is the approval of the prior meeting's minutes. Do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
And a second.
Thank you. Without objection, show the minutes of the September 20 meeting approved. With that, we'll go ahead and recognize Joe Martins to present several items from the Office of Internal Audit.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can we have the slide, please? I'd like to refer you to tab 2 of the pack, where I provided an overview of the internal audit progress and copies of the reports issued. Since the previous meeting, we have completed one project advisory and 5 audit engagements. On the slide in front of you on the top left corner, I present a graph indicating that we have completed 12 engagements from July 1st, and we are currently actively working on 80 engagements. In the column to the right, I listed the audit engagements we completed and are currently working on, and also those planned for completion during Q2 2023. For 2 of the completed audits, the P-card audit, as well as the vulnerability and patch management audit, we noted some control weaknesses and agreed on corrective action with the business. None of these observations were classified as high impact, and corrective action is in progress. The Office of Insurance Regulation is also conducting their market conduct exam, which should be completed in the middle of December. In the bottom of the left slide, we show a graph that indicates we are currently tracking 7 open observations from 4 audits. None of these observations were rated high impact. Next slide, please. The Enterprise Risk continues to monitor progress and managing risk mitigation aligned with 16 identified strategic risks and to support the organization with the identification and assessment of operational risk. For now, 326 risks have been identified, of which 53 were rated as medium impact. The risk team is working with management to prepare for the 2023 strategic risk assessment scheduled late January next year. The internal controls team actively support the business on its completion of the year's control self-assessments. There are 98 assessments, of which 26 have been completed so far. Next slide, please. Behind the executive summary in your pack, we included an action item for approval of the 2023 Office of Internal Audit Strategy and Plan, as well as the 2023 Office of Internal Audit Budget. I will read this action item, if that's okay.
Yes, please, and I apologize for not noting that there is this action item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The action item seeks committee approval for the 2023 OIA strategy and plan and budget. The plan was developed using a risk-based approach to understand and assess citizens' operations and associated risks. The objective of the plan is to provide the most timely and comprehensive scope of the audit risk and control coverage by using resources available to the office. Internal audit follows a detailed annual planning process and prepares a themes-based audit plan which considers the possibility of dynamic risk fluctuations and process changes throughout the year. This necessitates a regular re-evaluation of the audit approach and scope so that appropriate audit focus is always given the important strategic and operational issues. To achieve the greatest impact, internal audit rebalance internal audit activities in the rolling audit plan to ensure adequate focus is given to citizen strategic issues and critical observations. For 2023, internal audit documented 5 specific audit themes which consolidate and provide high-level insights into the year's audit focus areas. Enterprise risk will continue to facilitate and enable risk assessments from five different perspectives. This is strategic risk, operational risk, fraud risk, project risk, and scenario risk. Internal control will continue to ensure consistency and sustainability of the internal control framework and support the completion of annual control self-assessments. The 2023 budget for the Office of Internal Audit presented is $3.48 million as compared to $3.41 million budgeted for 2022. This represents a 2% increase in the 2022 budget. If there are no questions, I will read the recommendation.
Governors, are there questions regarding the action item?
No.
Is there any discussion?
No.
You can proceed, Joe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Staff recommends that the Citizens Audit Committee approve the 2023 Office of Internal Audit Strategy and Plan and approve the 2023 Office of Internal Audit Budget as presented.
Move to approve. Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Show the action item approved. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And you can proceed to your next review.
I have completed my presentation, Madam Chair.
Very good. The next up, we have Chief Financial Officer Jennifer Montero. You are recognized.
Sorry, Madam Chair, I was running late from my chair.
No worries.
So behind tab three, you'll find the a document titled 3Q 2022, Results of Operations and Financial Position. This provides an overview of Citizens' unaudited financial position, including cash flows, invested assets, and surplus, as well as operational results for the nine-month period ending September 30th, 2022. And the second document is actually the commentary and its discussion and analysis on those operating results and financial position, and I'll be providing a summary of the information within the commentary document. Okay. At September 30th, 2022, consolidated cash and invested assets totaled $10.1 billion, reflecting an increase of just over $1 billion from 9 months prior, or December 31st, 2021. This increase was driven by an increase in cash flows from operations, largely as a result of the increase in written premiums, which was partially offset by financing cash outflows arising from Citizens' principal repayment obligations on outstanding bonds. Consolidated surplus at September 30th was $4.4 billion, marking a significant decline of $2.1 billion from December 31st. The cause of the decline in surplus is attributable to the estimated ultimate net losses from Hurricane Ian. It's noteworthy to mention that at September 30th, 2022, substantially no losses were paid related to Hurricane Ian. However, the estimated loss was booked. The difference between surplus and cash invested assets is because we haven't paid those yet. The consolidated direct written premium through September 30th was $2.4 billion, which is an increase in excess of $1 billion, or 78%, from the same period in 2022. In 22, the overall renewal rate of Citizens policies has been roughly 80%, despite this renewal rate reflecting a year-over-year decrease of 4 percentage points, the number of new policies written in Citizens by September 30th, 2022 was approximately 456,000 compared to 267,000 first-time policies written during the first 9 months of 2021. Premiums ceded for private reinsurance in the CAP fund totaled $541 million, approximately $108 million more than in 2021. Premiums ceded for private reinsurance and CAP fund coverage are recognized at the beginning of the Atlantic hurricane season of June 1st and vary from year based on the level of coverage purchased and the underlying cost of the covered period. On September 28, 2022, Hurricane Ian made landfall in Southwest Florida As of September 30th, Citizens is projecting total direct losses in LAE of $3.8 billion across all three accounts. And after reinsurance recoverables of $1.4 billion, the remaining net impact to Citizens is $2.4 billion. As of September 30th, consolidated ultimate direct losses in LAE related to hurricanes Irma and Michael were unchanged from the prior quarter and stood at $2.4 billion and $150 million, respectively. Of the $2.4 billion of Hurricane Irma ultimate losses in LAE across all three accounts, $1.01 billion is recoverable under Citizens reinsurance contracts with both the CAT fund and private reinsurance. Citizens reinsurance contracts for both CAT fund and private reinsurers, there's no recovery from Hurricane Michael from either the CAT fund or private reinsurance, as attachment levels of the reinsurance arrangements were not met. The 2022 accident year non-catastrophe loss and LAE ratios for the personal lines account and the coastal account continue to show improvement from prior years. The dominant driver behind the improvement in loss and LAE is the improvement in the litigation rates, which continues to be the single most important factor in non-CAT losses in LAE. In 2021, the litigation rate for non-catastrophe, non-sinkhole claims within the PLA and the coastal account was 15%. Less than half of the litigation rate during the peak in 2015. The underlying CLA loss and LAE ratio has increased to 14.8% through September 30th, but this is driven by the inherent volatility of the CLA due to the low premium volume. The increase in the CLA results is not caused by any systematic changes to the underlying loss experience or the book of business. Admin expenses incurred through September 30th were $105 million or $5 million more than for the same period in the prior year and $17 million less than budgeted. For the period ended September 30th, Citizens' expense ratio was 14.4%, reflecting a 2.5% decrease from the same period a year ago and a 0.4% decrease compared to budget. Total investment income through September 30th was $151.4 million, approximately $58 million less than during the same period in 2021, while average invested assets increased $553 million. In 2021, several positions were sold, resulting in significant level of realized gains, which did not occur again in 2022. Also, with the recent rise in interest rates, certain portfolios were and continue to be repositioned to purchase securities with higher yields, resulting in short-term realized losses. Despite the incurrence of large storms during 2022 hurricane season, Citizens' invested assets are well-positioned to continue to meet current and future policyholder needs. Heading into the 2023 hurricane season, Citizens will continue to explore financial options that reduce its overall retained exposure and minimize the risk of assessments. And that completes my report. If there are no questions.
Governors, are there questions for Ms. Montero?
Okay, thank you.
I'd just like to commend you and the team for keeping administrative costs relatively low throughout this time of growth and given recent catastrophic events that nature brought us. With that, I'll go ahead and move to item number four, an update from the external auditor. We'll recognize Brian Smith.
Good afternoon. For the record, Brian Smith, and with me is our audit manager, Sam Wishard. For today, our communications discuss our audit plan for the 2022 fiscal year. This is a required communication as external auditors. As Forbis, we have been engaged to audit Citizens for 2022. A few items to discuss. As a reminder, we are auditing Citizens on both the statutory in a GAAP basis, as government accounting standards under GASB. We are currently in process of working through our interim and planning procedures. We intend to come back and complete our field work in April of 2023, and we'll issue or plan to issue our reports and conclusions by May 15th of 23. As a reminder, we are auditing the financial statements of Citizens. We are not completing the internal control audit. I just want to make sure that's clear for the committee. And then on page 2 of our report, Sam is going to walk us through some of the required significant risk areas that we're required to communicate to the committee.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Brian mentioned, go through some of the significant risk areas we've identified so far during our planning procedures. The first one listed here is the valuation of investments. So we'll be looking for any potential impairment on those investments and any investments that may be difficult to price. We will be engaging a valuation specialist to assist us with these procedures. Next is the evaluation of the incurred but not reported reserves. These are typically generated through key assumptions and key estimates and are also subject to actuarial review. We will also engage a third-party actuary to assist with our procedures. Next is the collection of premiums, the risk around the collection of premiums. We will be looking for significant risks around the cancellations, potentially policy cancellations or uncollectible premiums may be present. The next one here is any risks around reinsurance accounts. We'll specifically be looking at key assumptions in these accounts, their material, in addition to any structures around profit sharing or cat bonds. We work with management also to address and understand any potential impacts from Hurricane Ian as further data becomes available. Finally, we will address the inherent risk of around management override of controls using fraud inquiries and other various procedures.
Thank you, Sam. One more item to point out for the committee. We are engaging Merlinos and Associates as our actuary specialist as a third party. So that completes our report for today.
Who was that?
Merlinos and Associates. Yep. That completes our report. Take any questions.
All right. Are there any questions for Brian? Any discussion? Right. Okay. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.
Lastly, and this is for information only, the OIG third quarter report is in your packet. If there's anything you'd like to discuss, feel free to do so, but that's available to you. If there are no questions then and no new business, we'll take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second if needed.
We are adjourned. Thank you.